Yo, 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 what up, what up? Good morning, GMG. Monday, March 11th, 2020. Look at that. Another beautiful day to have a beautiful day. Another beautiful week to have a beautiful week on FOMO Hour. Woo! Last week was arguably, one of the biggest week, actually the biggest week for the show when it comes sort of to numbers. And boy, oh boy, am I excited for what's going on right now. I got my big brain co-hosts in the house. OSF, Mando, good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Good. How you guys doing?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great.
We are so fucking back, or what? Like, are we back, or what? Like, what's going on? What's going on?
All time highs, baby.
Across the board. Oh my lord. Oh man. Look, I have to say, you know, few things, better than waking up on the Monday morning. You know, getting to work, sitting at your desk, having a nice little coffee. And then Bitcoin's at 72K. I can think of very, 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 very few things. Ooh, what are you eating there, Ovi?
A wrap.
A burrito?
Of course, this is only 4-hour difference for us.
Oh, God, I love it. Yeah, so it was daylight. See, I didn't even realize at all. I just woke up to like Vitalik's tweet. That's how I found out. Vitalik tweeted like abolish daylight savings, and I was like, daylight savings. And I guess I lost an hour of sleep, right, on Saturday night, because 2 became 3 a.m. So I did. And then, but what's good is that the sun sets now here at 7 p.m. hypothetically, not at 6. So it's just kind of good for us. We're still in the thick of the winter, lads. It was snowing all weekend. It was gray. I saw all these posts about London being like second most miserable place after Uzbekistan. I would say that's an insult to Uzbekistan. But it's not much better here, Ovi. So all that to say, I am with you. You know, it is chilly here still. I still have to walk and like avoid like slush in the street and like that gross water everywhere. But thankfully, I don't leave my home. So, you know, that's also utility. Anyways, all right. So that's the show today. What do we got going on today? There's a lot. First and foremost, I hope you guys woke up and chose rich because the market did. And I can't, we're going to have to talk about this for a minute. We have to talk about Nick and Nifty Portal and what's going on with that. Cause that was definitely what went down all weekend. So weekend recap as usual. We'll talk about Bitcoin. We'll talk about ETH, you know, steady above 4K. You absolutely love to see it. So a lot above 148, hit 150, and all the other coins running, with it as usual. You got London Stock Exchange considering crypto ETS. Okay, we'll talk about that. We got Trump talking Bitcoin on NFTs, of course, on national television, and you're still bearish, Anon. So this is all going on. Polymarket, we'll talk Polymarket and ETH ETF chance, because there was a big conversation about ETH ETFs over the weekend as well, whether it's happening or not. And then of course, like meme coins, altcoins, a lot of stuff running, people every day for Nick, blah, 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 blah. We'll talk about that. And then last but not least, of course, talk about, you know, NFTs and do a little roundup about what is going on in that front, because, wow, we are fuming. Things are going crazy. And in case you didn't realize yet, on the bottom of the screen, we have our little robot thingy going around because we love Razer. We love working with them and giving you guys money away thanks to them. But we also are partnering with a generative ERC 404 art collection at the forefront of digital innovation. And you can check him out by IMCFW on the timeline. Shout out to Palette, who is one of our new screen sponsors on the show. So you will see them if you're watching us on video every Monday, where we are streaming live every Monday to Friday. But anyways, without further ado, why don't we get right into it?
Who is the man, Macro Daddy of the land?
Can you dig it?
G
GM, everyone. Just tweeting out the Twitter broadcast link.
We already have it. Ah, we already have it now.
Give me a minute. He'll kill me otherwise. So just
sorry. Me too. Hold on.
And it's done. Look, it was a little bit of a mixed weekend, I think. Like Bitcoin went up and down on Friday, and then we kind of hang out around 68K for a while. And then towards Sunday night, we started to rally again, and then we had like a bit of a correction, right? Everyone started getting very bearish. Bitcoin, I think, went down to 66K. ETH went down about $200. Solana, I think, went sub 140 briefly. And KBM was tweeting, you know, it's all over.
Uh-oh.
And then...
And KSI. KBM, KSI. What do we have in common?
Oh, yeah. KSI also getting involved.
KSI, KBM, starts with K, three-letter acronym. They're both short.
So, and then we started to rally again. Bitcoin took out its all-time high, went to 72K. It's up 5% again, basically, over the last 24 hours. ETH, just behind it, broke 4K. It's at 40.35 right now. Solana went back up to 150 areas now, like 149. So, definitely a bounce. Obviously, last week was the biggest weekly inflow for crypto ever. I think it was just shy of $3 billion of inflow into crypto-specific funds. That includes the ETFs. And people are obviously expecting very similar sort of numbers. The ETF was very strong even towards the end of last week. And clearly, like, just anecdotally, you're starting to see it more and more. It's on the front page of CNBC. It's on the front page of, you know, most major financial news websites at the moment. The Bitcoin keeps hitting new highs. So definitely people picking up on it. I think people were mainly trading meme coins on the weekend. And you saw a bunch of mainly on-chain things move aggressively higher. There's been a couple of smaller ones, let's say, which have moved. Things like Floki keeps on going fucking higher. That's at nearly $3 billion now. And WIF, I think, hit a new high. So, but it was mainly a lot of the on-chain coins on Solana that were going crazy. And we'll get into that in a little bit. Today, it does feel like Bitcoin's dominating, though, again. Like altcoins are slightly underperforming, I would say, as a group. Bitcoin is probably beating 80% of altcoins here. There's just a few that are still beating Bitcoin over the last 24 hours. In terms of stuff this week, on a macro basis, we have CPI tomorrow, which is the inflation metric. There's been a little bit more worry about the fact that inflation might be a bit more sticky recently. So there's even though Powell was dovish at the back end of last week, so expect... I would say that's a more volatile figure than people have predicted maybe a couple of weeks ago. So it's definitely become a little bit more worrisome than that. Crypto, although it is rallying, again, is showing signs of excessive risk-taking. Funding is basically back to the highs before we saw that 10% wick in Bitcoin. To fund a Bitcoin long right now is 113% a year. Christ. That's higher than where it was just before it dumped pretty aggressively. That's the same kind of across the board. ETH is about 100%, Solana is 120%. Every single major coin is, the funding has gone very high. You know, Bitcoin dipped and then went straight back up high. I don't think this affects the long-term trend. It does tell you that pretty much every day at the moment, we're getting a wick lower, clearing out the funding, and then we're going higher. So I would be very unsurprised if we saw a wick today. I don't, which is quite good because it's not a market where you necessarily have to feel particular FOMO when it's going higher. But what you have to do is be disciplined and buying the dip when it goes lower. So instead of like getting on the momentum train, you know, that, you know, it's gone lower, now it's going to drop, you know, 20K. It's more that you have to be diligent in buying the dips each day. And we kind of run up the excessive risk taking every single day in between. So that's what it feels like. It's clearly getting a bit frothy. People are making crazy money on meme coins every single day. Solana volumes are just like unbelievable at the moment. I think it had its biggest ever or second biggest day ever for fees the other day. It's dominating a lot of the on-chain activity happening at the moment. So that's where a majority of the NFT action, sorry, a majority of the meme coin action is happening. I think most people are having up Solana shitcoins on their charts over the weekend. Like, that's just where people were. It just seems like that's where a lot of the fun is happening. The big things this week in terms of ETH is you have the upgrade, the Denken upgrade, which shouldn't really affect too many things on the L1 chain. What it's really going to do is affect the revenue base of the L2s. I don't know how big a deal this is. I think it's more big, and then it changes the story for the L2s as revenue generating chains. I think most of their revenue is going to go up by a factor after this has changed. But it doesn't. I don't think it's going to aggressively bring down gas prices on the L1. It more just revolutionizes the L2s as actual revenue generating entities. So people are getting bullish on the L2s into that. On the other hand, there's been a bit of a weird divergence, which I guess Obi's picking up on. And I think it's the best thing is to go onto Polymarket to see this. So if you go onto Polymarket right now and you type in ETH.
Yeah.
I mean, the two things I would look at here is Ethereum all-time high in Ethereum all-time high by the end of March. That's a 41% chance of that happening on Polymarket. And yet the ETF chance has dipped from about 75% likely in January now to 25% today. It's really taken a nosedive over the last few days. So there's this weird mixture. I think this is what Obi's kind of picking up on at the moment. Is that I don't think that's the right one.
No, that's the usual one with the lot of bets on it.
No, this it's by May. I think there's very little Ethereum ETF approved by May 31st.
Ethereum ETF. Let's check.
Just type in ETH.
ETH,
and then search.
You see, I don't see the same thing as you. That's the ones I see, yeah.
That's weird. I'll send you the link now. But this one has a lot more.
I want you to see that.
There's a lot more traded on this one than the one that you want. I put it into the FOMOR chat.
Yeah, send that. I'll share it right now. So
there's this weird difference between like ETH right now, which is like a lot of people are playing for ETH. Yeah. And even in the world that me and Obi used to live in, a lot of the trap by people that I used to speak to think like the alpha trade is to buy ETH into this ETF.
Right.
And increasingly, it feels like they are missing that the market is moving away from that. And all of TradFi media is not picking up on it either. Like if you listen to any one of the major interviews going on right now on Bloomberg or CNBC or any of these major financial news services, they're always talking about the ETH ETF. And that went down as low as 25% earlier today. It seems to have bounced to 36.
I see here, 24 cents here. So it was 24, yeah.
And there's been just more, I think it's they need to basically ask for comments from the issuers, and the SEC has not yet. And it seems to be dragging its feet. So everyone's worried that, you know, they're just going to push it. And that would be quite a big thing, I think, for the market. At least I think the market thinks that there's going to be an ETH ETF with pretty high confidence. As what I agree with what OSF's saying, like bring up the ETH chart after the Bitcoin ETF, it's just fucking up only. And I think that's a worrying scenario that if you hear every single day, you're picking up on, but the increasingly TradFi nature of our product has not picked up on. Like all this takes is one CNBC article or one Bloomberg article saying, hey, the ETF isn't going to happen. And I think that could lead to a small repricing here. I don't think it's bearish on Bitcoin or on a few different things. Like, we had a debate whether it's bearish for Solana the other day. And I think it's less bearish on Solana, at least over the medium term, but it would definitely be bearish on ETH, L2s, EVM, like a lot of that would be bearish if that happened. I'm not saying they would never do an ETH ETF in the future. What happened last time is obviously Grayscale took the SEC to court. That took a year at least, maybe even longer. This one might get thrown out like by a judge pretty quickly, given there's already an ETH futures ETF, and it would be perhaps a more difficult thing to argue. But we could be sitting here waiting for another year or so, maybe 2 years even, for an ETH ETF if they end up rejecting it. So,
I mean, Oh, you're fine. You're fine. Listen, baby's crying is okay. I mean, she just wants to be part of the show, you know?
Yeah.
She just wants to ETTF, you know? She just wants to choose Rich. That's it. You know, that's what the baby wants. I mean, look, here, let's talk to Ovi a little bit here. I mean, you made a post this weekend. You seem to be quite bearish again. I'm obviously kidding, but what are your thoughts here on ETH? Obviously hitting 4K, which is awesome, right? Love to see ETH. Love to see ETH 4K, and love to see the new updated OSF daily. Daily at this point, right? Quote tweet. You know, if you're liking ETH 4K, imagine 4100 and on and on and on. What do you think here? Do you think ETH ETF is priced in? Is what I want to ask you. And second question over here is, if the ETH ETF does not happen, what does that mean for the market?
Yeah, so look, I think previously I thought there was maybe like a 60-40 or 50-50 probability of the ETH ETF being priced in. Now it seems like the probability of an ETH ETF getting approved is less than 50-50 if you read the headlines over the weekend and the color that's coming out from it. And if you look at Polymarket, of course. But I still think the market seems to be pricing in a higher probability of it. And just judging by the timeline, people just think, oh, it's definitely going to get improved. People are like bringing out all the BlackRock stats, like that 99.9% of BlackRock ETFs gets approved, etc. Like, I get all that. I understand all that. But we already went through all that stuff with Bitcoin ETF. And I think you have to appreciate that this ETH ETF is different to the Bitcoin ETF. And the reasons that came out, if you look at Eleanor Terrett's tweet, the reasons coming out as to why they could reject this, these are esoteric reasons that like not even BlackRock can really contest unless they have, you know, unless they're able to push things around. And maybe they are. Like, I'm not saying the ETH ETF is going to get rejected. That's definitely not what I'm saying. I still think it probably will get approved, in my opinion. But I'm saying the probability of it getting approved is now much lower than it was a few weeks ago. And that you have to be careful of and you have to be cognizant of. And I'm not saying, oh, sell all your ETH or sell all your crypto because of this. But I'm saying, don't just sit there being like max bullish and thinking, oh, this is all a given, because it's not a given. We have some bridges to cross. We have some hurdles to jump before this can get approved. And as Michael said, you know, suddenly if you get a few headlines coming and building and someone gets a sniff of it, especially while funding is so high like it is now and it has been, someone can be malicious and attack it, and then that can cause crypto to take a hit. So my opinion is a bit different to Michael's. Obviously, like, ETH gets hit badly if gets rejected, but I think you see risk off across all alts. Like, I think L2s get hit, I think Solana gets hit. I just think it's a bad thing for altcoins if the SEC is rejecting ETH, because you know, if they approve the ETH ETF, Solana would outperform ETH, and all the beta would outperform ETH, and the next thing people would be thinking is, what's the next ETF? Could it be Solana and all that kind of stuff? All that stuff goes out the window if ETH gets rejected. And I just think you get a bit of risk off. You get everyone who was like buying ETH for this trade or buying L2s for the trade, they all sell, and then people just look at the rel val versus other coins and it all sells off. And yes, like, if it all, you know, maybe it all sells off and on the first few days or weeks, and over time narratives can change if Solana picks back up again. I can see that happening for sure, but I just think it would be bad for risk. And hopefully it doesn't happen. Hopefully we get an approval, hopefully the headlines turn. It's still early days, we don't have a lot of information. The deadline is 23rd of May, so we're, you know, 2.5 months out still. That's the Bloomberg lads, like, what they say seems a bit Bitcoin maxi-ish to me. Like, they're a little bit like, oh, Bitcoin is great and ETH sucks kind of thing.
I think it's important though. What they're saying, I think, I think it's important is that there was a big incentive for Grayscale to fight the SEC.
Yeah.
Right. There was a huge incentive based on the fees and the volume. There may be less of an incentive for Grayscale to fight the SEC on this, right? Like, somebody is going to have to take the SEC to court. And would it be BlackRock? Would it be one of these other issuers? They may, but their fees might not be enough for them to argue it. With Bitcoin, it felt like, yes, right? It was always going to be likely they're going to do it. But the ETH ETF, you know, it's going to be smaller, no doubt, than the Bitcoin ETF. So the idea that you would go to war with the SEC and probably face, you know, hundreds of millions of legal fees doing it, that may not be the same case. Because it's not actually a lawsuit against the ETH Foundation or anything like that. It would have to be an ETF issuer decides to basically take on the mantle to fight the SEC. So the idea that this is going to be a smaller ETF, which is what the Bloomberg people are saying, I think matters just from the incentives for them to fight the SEC. I think it's really weird to say the same thing. Like, funding's high. There is no doubt in my mind that we will see a headline about this ETF from a major news provider over the next 2 weeks. Like, no doubt. There's about three or four different journalists right now, or three or four different market watchers from major news sites who are trying to get to the bottom of this question. And they all know they're getting massive engagement from doing it. So, like, they're all sitting there going, like, right, we need to find out from the SEC if they're going to do this. So they're going to be speaking to low-level, mid-level SEC employees, trying to get a better scoop. That Twitter post that we saw, that is going to be an article very similar to that, I think, in the next 2 weeks. And I would imagine to see a flush on the back of that. I don't know if that's the end of it. You saw today, the London Stock Exchange might start to offer ETFs. Hong Kong might beat the US on ETFs. There's a headline around that. It's not terminal. It's more just be aware that this is now happening and be prepared for a messy TradFi headline about this ETF over the next 2 weeks.
And you know TradFi is like coping so hard. They're just ready to like jump at the first thing where they can push crypto lower. But I think that's just like one risk factor. And like, obviously Bitcoin's hitting new all-time highs today with 72K, Ether's above 4K, everything's rallying. But I do think as prices go higher, I think you do want to get a bit more cautious. And it doesn't mean sell. It doesn't mean, get bearish, whatever. But I just think at the end of the day, we're all here trying to make money, and holding the right things as the price goes up is half of that equation. It's only part of that equation. I think people just think that's the entire equation. The other half of the equation is like monetizing it, figuring out when to sell and getting it into your bank account. And if it's a lot of money that's made a difference to your life, then having that so it actually makes that difference to your life and not round tripping. And that we're getting towards, I think, as we have, hit new all-time highs in Bitcoin, I think we're getting to the point now where it's like, I'm not saying getting to the point where you just should sell, but you should start rather than my view on the market is rather than just feeling euphoric every time we hit new all-time highs every day, it's okay, let me just actually stay switched on and be controlled and think, okay, how am I now going to execute my sales and exit the risk that I want to exit as the rest of this cycle goes on? And that could be a multi-month process. Maybe it's even a multi-year process. I don't even really know, but I just think you can't do that when you're just like every day you're like euphoric and max long and max bidding. I think you have to like take a step back, but cool, like I've made this much. I need this much to like live for the next year. I need this much to quit my job. I need this much to buy a house, whatever it is. And then like figure it out. And I need it to go up this percent. And then when it gets there, I'm going to take off this much. And that way, if you have a plan in place, because you've been thinking about it rather than like just going too crazy with excitement, then and at some point the tide will turn, whether it's the ETF rejection, whatever it is. And don't forget, by the way, like, Bitcoin ETFs are great right now, but at some point, the Bitcoin ETF will sell Bitcoin and it will be everyone's worst enemy. I don't think it's going to happen in the next few months, but it will happen one day where the biggest seller of Bitcoin will be the Bitcoin ETF. And it's going to be horrific because every day they're going to come in and just let's slash the bid and we'll have aggressive price action on the way down, like we had on the way up. So you
want to be in our market as well.
You want to be in a position where when that's happening, you're there buying Bitcoin at lower prices, at the lows, because you took out some money, during the bull run and you made some, you profited from it. And I just think like you're only able to do that if you're just like thinking about things in a very controlled fashion. And I think, when people get too bullish, they end up like buying more and more risk at higher and higher prices. And that only leads you to eating away all the money you've made.
But I think we can't have a show like this after the show with Raoul where we're like, we think we're going to fucking 250 and like, this is the start of it. My base case is we've got a long way to go. What I do think is that don't fool yourself as a long-term investor when you're probably going to sell if it goes down like 20%. Like, be prepared for some nasty wicks right now, because right now, altcoin funding, even Bitcoin funding is over 100% a year.
Madness.
I haven't seen that since the big wick that we saw a couple, just over a week ago. I think just be prepared for that. Like, if you're holding fucking some tier two meme on Solana, maybe that is a worrying thing in this current context. Because if you see a big wick, if Bitcoin goes down to 60K or ETH goes down to 3K on some messy headline about, you know, Gensler's going to deny the ETH ETF and Elizabeth Warren's fucking still coming after crypto, which is kind of what we're hearing, then, you know, you kind of want to have some powder to maybe buy that dip and buy the good stuff. So you're not owning fucking tier 2 dog coin on Solana. So yeah, right now, clean up your book, I would say. Make sure you're in stuff that you would hold if Bitcoin dropped 20%, and you're not just going to panic if that happens. And see those dips as massive opportunities, because they are massive opportunities. Like, if you could buy a liquid dip in here of anything, particularly like the majors, Bitcoin, ETH, Solana, ETH, depending on like what the headline is, then I think you could have a very, very good next month. Yeah. Even
I think you can be bullish. Like, you can still, I still believe Bitcoin could get to 100K this month. Like, as I said before, I still think these 200, 250K numbers or 500, I think all this stuff could well happen this cycle. But I think it's important. The point I'm trying to make is, like, you can be really bullish. You can believe all of that. You can believe prices are going much, much, much higher, which I do. But you can still be cautious and switched on at the same time. Those two things are not mutually exclusive. You can still have an appreciation for market risks. And I just think people get too much into one go with it. Like, oh, Bitcoin's going to 500K and there's no risk in the market, and anyone who thinks anything can happen is just stupid, and like, this is never going to happen. Where it's like, okay, I think Bitcoin's going to go to 250K, but I appreciate there's some risk that it doesn't because of this, this, and this. And if that happens, I'm not suddenly caught off guard because I've had a plan in place for it, whether it's I have capital to buy the dip, whether it's I'm not going to panic, whatever it is. And that's the only point I'm trying to make. You won't feel panicked when prices go down if you have appreciated that risk exists. If you don't appreciate that risk exists, when the prices go down, you panic, and then you make bad decisions, and you don't want to make bad decisions.
100%. Like, let me put it a different way. I have 100% certainty that Bitcoin will be below 70K at least at one point again. 100% certainty of that. I'll bet you a lot of money.
That is a huge call, man.
With that in mind,
we'll never see Bitcoin below 70K.
Huge call, dude. You're like, that's a big statement, bro.
Right? But people might be thinking we're just going higher forever.
I have 100% conviction there are at least 100 people out there who believe it will never go below 70K. Like,
yeah. You know, it's a 3% move, right? Like,
right. And I'm telling you right now, everyone's like, I want to buy it because it's going higher. I'm telling you, it will be lower than this. It will be lower than 70K at some point. Yeah. Don't worry about it. You don't need to chase it.
So are you guys done with like being bears? Like, it's been 30 minutes on listening to the show. You guys are talking.
Here we go.
Right, just switched off.
I left. Did you notice? I left for 15 minutes. For the first time in 600 episodes, I think for 15 minutes, I actually
He's
was like
a tier 2 dog coin on Solana right now.
I was texting with Loxley. I was like, just like reading articles on the crypt. I was like going through my timeline, answering people on Twitter. And I come back and you guys are still playing mental gymnastics about being bears. I don't understand. Mando gets wiped once and Ovi makes like a bajillion dollars and they're both bears now. Like, I don't get it. Are you muted?
You're muted.
That's probably a sign.
Neither of us are bearish.
The last 30 minutes of this show, you know, have been you guys calling my coins tier 2. Okay? And I'm just playing. I'm obviously playing. And I think everything that has been talked about this thus far is probably the most sound piece of content you'll get today on the timeline. Let's just put it that way. Because the rest of the timeline is us choosing Rich, the Nick memes, everything going up, going crazy. So I actually agree with both of you. And I think it's awesome. For what it's worth, I am only in one meme coin for the first time of my life. And it's a tier 1 cat coin. That's it. That's actually crazy. I mean, that's if you don't count my Doge longs, but like, I don't count Doge as like I guess meme coin, yeah. That's a major now.
It's not a meme. It's,
a major. I mean, Doge is a major. Yeah. So like, I mean, hey, it's been a top 10 coin for years. So like, is Doge not a major to you guys at this stage? Like, I don't know, you know? But,
Major meme,
you know? So you know, I'm going to, because it's also acceptable for me to lead a Doge to $1 campaign on the timeline because it has way more liquidity in my following rather than going and like talking about every other coin, right? But saying Doge to a dollar is like socially accepted, right? On CT. So it's like I can do that safely while like, you know, doing the whole thing.
Weirdly, me and Obi even debate this because I think this is the next headline to come. Like, kind of the no doubt in my mind that we're going to get a bad
What are you guys debating?
Yeah, headline, is that I think something like Doge might not do badly in that scenario. My view on that scenario is that you could see certain things outperform. Namely, Bitcoin probably wouldn't do so badly. I personally think that even in the risk spectrum, we'd have more of a Q4 style feeling again about Solana versus ETH, where if without the ETH ETF narrative, Solana's just like destroying all the volume things right now. Like everyone is there. Like it feels like the most used chain. And then Doge is a meme coin, right? Doge is a meme coin. Proof, like basically a Litecoin, right? So it's basically a fork of Bitcoin, essentially.
Yeah, it is literally a book Bitcoin. Yeah, like, so, notionals, there's like DRC20, like it's literally like a pasta.
So in that scenario, if Doge and Solana fell on that headline, I'd buy the crap out of them.
Yeah, I liked it this weekend. This is when I went in with it, but funding is very high. I'm not gonna lie, lads. It's expensive, so I'm not sure how long we're gonna keep those open at this rate. But we don't mind it for now. That's where I'm at personally. I agree with you guys. I'm very comfortable with my Solana. However, I did lose my bet to Bored Elon. So shout out to Bored Elon. I need to send him half an ETH because ETH hit 4K before Solana hit $100, $200. So I'm sending my boy. I think he cleaned up on that bet, lads. I think he bet a lot of half an ETHs with a lot of people. I think Bored Elon cleaned today with that bet. So that's good. Good for you. Haha. Happy for you. And all that good stuff. Actually, I can just go check his ENS. Is any bored.eth, which is actually fire ENS. But I wonder how much. Let's see if he really cleaned house or he paid yet. Bored Elon. Looks like I don't think he's received much. Oh, hold on. Is that him? Nope. Nothing yet. Oh, there you go. Cool Ethereum. Sent him half an ETH a couple days ago. Hey, he's been winning bets. All these little things. I'm pretty sure it's him winning a few bets. So not bad. Not bad. Anyways, what else is going on in the market? Wow. I don't know if you guys are looking at Bitcoin, but Bitcoin is running for it. 72.5 pretty much. Love to see that. Love to see that. Guys, honestly, it feels so good because Bitcoin 72.5 and there's not an ounce of euphoria on my timeline. No one's even talking about the price of Bitcoin. Love to see that. And you're muted again. I think your thing's muting you automatically again.
No, I've been muting it because of the baby.
It's fine.
But
it's part of your show. Yeah.
Retail is here. Let's be
retail
honest.
Is retail here yet? As long as this, I don't see a dollar here. So as long as I don't see a dollar on this bad boy here, you know, well, retail will not have been here. But look, Ovi. Look, your ETH looks amazing. I mean, it's incredible. I love to see. I mean, look at this. Look at ETH. It's just like, I think the easiest trade in all crypto at the moment is like just like ETH.
Did you listen to the last like 20 minutes of what we just said?
Fuck
this. You are a frontline soldier, man. Like, you are just frontline.
Here's why you check me out. I'll tell you why you check me out. Because I'll take the other side of it where I actually don't care about whether or not the ETF comes in May. And here's three reasons why. But the reasons why are, for me, as a crypto enthusiast and someone who's building in the industry, none of us got into space because of Bitcoin ETF, but now we have the Bitcoin ETF, which is like, we have Bitcoin ETF. Like, the rest of it, then that's where I'm like, well, what? We're going to want a Doge ETF, we're going to want a Solana ETF, we're going to have ETF, everything. Like, okay, cool. We have Bitcoin ETF. ETH ETF makes it even better. Let's fucking go. Good for my bags, at least. I'm happy with it. It's going to happen, by the way. Whether it's in May or next year, it's going to happen. But does it mean anything for crypto? I don't think so. I mean, we got Bitcoin ETFs. It's like, I was actually playing poker Saturday with a bunch of your old peoples. So it's me and just all my TartFi bros from Montreal. They all work at banks behind Bloomberg terminals, right? And they were, actually, Ovi, you would like this. They were obsessed with WIF. They were talking about WIF for the entire 4 hours of the poker game. They could not believe that a dog with a hat got to their terminals and they didn't buy it. And they were all complaining. Oh, we saw, like, all of them. They're all like, no crypto. Like, they live behind a Bloomberg terminal. They're happy with that, right? Super hilarious. But the other thing is, they were saying how they just cannot believe how there is like 11 issuers and a Bitcoin ETF. Like, that was like, it's like, I was like, wow, we are like, we're still so early. Like, MFers are still like in disbelief in TradFi, where we're like on the hopeful slash optimistic probably side of the scale, right? I don't think we're euphoric just yet. But you know, I thought it was funny. So that's why, you know, ETF this, ETF that, you know, we'll get what we get when we go.
I think you buy that dip. I don't think any of us are bearish.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that the market, we do this show every single day. I'm telling you, today feels like, and this week to me feels more precarious than last week. Just because of the way funding is, and because I think this story is about to break, and probably not in a way that will be done nicely.
I mean, story's about to break. It's already everywhere. Like Decrypt, CoinDesk, like Block, fucking everybody already picked Cointelegraph. Everyone already picked up on Eleanor's tweet. Eleanor's like the
I know, but ETH keeps going high, and I'm telling you that's because TradFi's buying it. They haven't picked up on this.
I don't think so. It's 11 a.m. in New York. TradFi hasn't picked up on Eleanor's tweet. You know what I mean? Like, she's on TV every day. Like, I'm not saying ETH is not going to dip.
I'm just telling you, if that ETH ETF headline breaks, it will go a lot lower.
But hold on. There's no ETH ETF headline at the moment on Google News, you're telling me?
There's some things creeping in, but I feel like it's not priced in. I
can't Google it for you guys because Canada banned news on Google for what it's worth. That's why I'm not sharing it. Gotta love.
Here we go. Forbes, a day ago. Just the beginning. Bitcoin suddenly hit 70K. Price tipping point amid Ethereum and XRP ETF speculation.
XRP ETF. Come on.
You know what I mean? Like, this is where they are. I know we are starting to pick up on a tweet.
That's fair.
But... on something from...
yeah, but that's ETH.
Two hours ago from TradingView, ETH next in line for an all-time high price with the potential Ethereum ETF approval on the horizon.
Well, her tweet.
Yeah. 2 hours ago.
Dude, Eleanor's tweet has 487,000 views and she works at Fox. You're telling me Trad Media didn't pick up on that?
I'm telling you, you're about to see a headline probably from Fox Business. And then it will go fucking live.
It's not on Google. It's actually not on Google. If you Google ETH ETF and go to news, there's not a single article.
Okay, I wouldn't know. I can't. I literally, like, so we in Canada have banned Trad. Like, I can Google News and I can't read, like, CNN and all that stuff. I can't even open their Instagram accounts. It's illegal in Canada to read news. I'm not even making this up. Trudeau, don't ban my shit. Please.
There's one headline. Senior ETF analyst unimpressed with SEC's attitude.
Okay, so there's nothing. No, you would be like, there would be 20 if you were to look it up, like, and it was out. Like, I get it. I agree. Okay, you're right. Like, there's nothing much then. Because usually it's like all of them, right? Bloomberg first. Usually it's always Bloomberg. It's Bloomberg.
Bloomberg haven't decided yet. Balkunas and I forget who, James Seyfarth, right? They haven't. They said initially they thought it could be around 70%, but they failed to give any percentages. And
he said
I reckon
on our show.
He said above
50.
Above 50.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see what they say here. They could decide to do an article, or my guess is that Fox will decide to do some form of an article or
it's probably because Eleanor Terrett is that
right? Fox. Exactly, right.
So we'll see. Let's all you're saying is there's going to be a wipe on leverage, and just like if you're spot, though, it doesn't pertain to the listener that's not trading, that's on spot. Like, it means nothing to him, right, or her. Like, oh, there you go, James Safe. The Ethereum just now because I have my notifications on for the guy. Ethereum ETF cycle feels like the opposite of Bitcoin ETF approval odds at the moment. The more we see here and don't see here, the less optimistic I become. We're about 73 days from the deadline, and there really seems to be little to no movement.
Ow. Sorry. Yeah, Eric. He quote tweeted Eric's tweet, which says his probability is now down to 35%.
Yeah, 11 minutes ago. Our odds of ETF approval by May deadline are down to 35%. I get all the reasons they should approve it, and we personally believe they should, but all the signs and sources that were making us bullish 2.5 months out for Bitcoin spot are not there this time.
That's what he said there is really important, because the comments that I got back yesterday was like, oh, BlackRock this, or they're definitely going to approve this, or Grayscale this. And Eric is not actually making a commentary on if they should or they shouldn't approve
it. He's not. Yeah, exactly.
He's just making a commentary on the signs that you see from the SEC, which tells you whether they'll approve it or not. You see what I mean? So he's like, you're seeing different behaviors or patterns or characteristics or data points now than we saw.
Really interesting to me, because they previously, these would be articles on Bloomberg, right? There would be articles on Bloomberg. I remember seeing them
on Twitter, bro. It's the place, right?
Right, but Bloomberg has its own news terminal, right? Like, This is going to be a story.
Maybe it's going to be us. Maybe we're going to be on Coinbase
again. Maybe we are. Let's go. Let's go Coinbase.
But then they're going to blame us. Then they're going to blame us for crashing ETH.
Yeah. You know what, though? Like,
these lands were fucking ETH.
What? I think this is good for the altcoins and the meme coins. I don't care. So it doesn't mean
I think it is. I genuinely think this Solana is bullish for a few things. Doge might actually be bullish for, like, weirdly.
It's literally not bearish for Solana, which is where my personal
bearish Solana short term. Me and Novi were debating that.
I don't think so. Solana's been running with Bitcoin.
I think it was in Q4.
The
other thing about Solana is, remember, Solana has very bad technicals at the moment. There's obviously selling pressure on Solana. So whenever something trades technically weak and you get a bad headline, it gets beaten up badly.
Very true.
Very true. This squares me. Okay, so look, we'll see what happens. You know what, though? Nothing better than an underdog story. So I'm going to go on Polymarket after this, and I'm going to put a little bet on the ETF getting approved because the odds look nice. And this is where I like to get in, but you know, we'll see. Yeah, dude, I know, Andre Smith. I'm sorry, it's not my fault. It's not my fault. He says, "Oh, this show is just a big bear show at this point." I ain't no bear, but my co-hosts, you know, maybe KBM got to their heads on Wrecked Radio. I don't know what's going on, you know. But speaking of KBM, I mean, lads, KSI yesterday tweeted that he was shorting crypto. You know, followed by a KBM tweet saying that he's short. But what people don't realize is, like, a momentum trader is, like, he's in and out within 5 minutes while the rest of the people are just still, like, debating what KBM's in and out of. But you know, that happened and the market seems to have ripped. The other news that we had, the other headline, and I definitely want to play some of this video here on the show. Donald Trump, so former president, real Donald Trump, says he has fun and makes money with crypto, proceeds to promoting his NFT collection. Oh, hold on. It's not playing. I think my sound settings. Let me fix this with you guys right now real quick. There you go.
Trump is definitely getting more bullish on. I mean, he basically said he didn't think it was that bad. He just preferred the dollar a couple of weeks back. And here he was like, oh, it's fun. I've made money from it with my NFTs. He said he's not, a lot of people have adopted it, so he's not going to do anything with it. Like, he's definitely not anti-crypto. So
don't you love to see it?
Which is, I don't think I even know what Biden's position is on crypto, if I'm honest. Like, I actually just don't. So, but it's definitely, Trump is taking a more positive line towards crypto in the last month.
I mean, I don't know what Biden's personal position is that much, but from the way his administration has been
dealing very,
with crypto, I think they'll probably on their side of that. Watching, you know, reading Senator Warren constantly bash it and everyone from, you know, what was the name of the lady that called this? Binance? I forgot her name. Binance?
Oh, Yellen.
Yellen, you know, you got Yellen, you got Warren fighting. You got, man, Ovi, you don't have to bear tweet during the show. You don't have to.
What's he tweeting about now?
I didn't battery.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he's explaining himself live on the show. 11:10 a.m. coming to you live from OSF's X account. OSF, why do you bull post one day then cautious post the next day? Ask no one. It's because I'm extremely cognizant of staying focused on managing risk and efficiently and not getting poisoned by euphoria. I will not allow myself to feel happiness until the job is, I mean, I have to say, I agree with this part. I don't agree with this part. You are allowed to feel happiness on the way up. So I do want to, there's euphoria and there's happiness.
That's true. That's a personal decision for everyone. Yeah. For me, I choose not to feel happiness.
Yeah, I love, you choose unhappiness. I choose rich and I choose happiness. So while I'm talking about this, can we just take a second here to, like, talk about our media colleague, our fellow morning show, you know, host of the Nifty Portal, which goes live before us every morning, also Monday to Friday since years. I mean, can we just take a second and appreciate what happened from Friday to Sunday for Nick O'Neill? I mean, I didn't really talk to you guys about this even in the background. Did you guys follow and, like, you know, play along a little bit?
I followed. I saw the coin as well when it was, like, very low.
Oh my God.
He's really, I just don't understand like how many people seem to have fallen for it. Like, it's so clearly satire. Even in the video, it looks like satire.
Oh my.
Show 4 brings me to $3,000 high tea service at Baccarat. Choose rich. Yo,
high tea service at Baccarat is fire, by the way. But what's funny is that he keeps getting community noted, right? On X, so it says, nobody said the champagne was fake, just that it's not as expensive. So it's champagne video.
Yo, cheers to all the Twitter haters who said I don't own my Miami house. I'll have you know I have the staff load up my jet so I could fly out here to my New York City penthouse pied-à-terre. Anyways, while you're click-clacking on Twitter from your mom's basement, I'll be sitting here sipping from my $5,000 bottle of champagne. Remember, choose rich.
And so that one, they're like, oh, it's not $5,000. It's a Tattinger champagne. No shit, bro. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to say that this is not helpful. And I'm going to say the source is not reliable. I'm going
to
appeal this community. And I'm going to say, submit and agree. There you go. I'm going to say this is abuse against Nick O'Neill. And then it all started with the Chose Rich video, right? Which is this. And then you have this guy claiming that. So Truth Labs is claiming that Nick O'Neill is funded by the Chinese Communist Party, by the CCP. I thought the CCP stood for Crypto Cabal Party. But no, it turns out that he's being funded by China. What do you guys think about that?
I don't know. I've seen this guy's post. They seem very rogue. Like,
fantastic.
I think he calls out Vitalik all the time as well. Like, he calls out a bunch of different people, and I don't really know if he's very good at his job.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. But it's pretty funny. So there it is.
He said KBM was like the founder of Bybit once, I seem to remember.
Yeah, there was something about KBM and Bybit.
And I was like, what?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
This one was great too.
Nothing more hilarious than a guy sitting next to I Chose Rich every time from a clearly rented house. He claims to own it, but his suitcase is right in the corner. So I guess he's going to struggle to explain that one, why he hasn't unpacked in his own house.
I don't think so.
I chose Rich every time.
I choose Rich every time. You know, Nick went viral. Congrats. I was thinking about this yesterday. This one's for me.
Twitter fools chose bro.
In the feather. Look, clearly the Nifty Portal organization had a great week in Miami, having a little offsite, you know, and choosing to
an offsite.
What an offsite, right? And it's funny because they planned all this, right? They're actually content masters. Like, what people don't realize is they're really good at what they do. They've been doing this as long as us, you know, and they've been doing this for a while. And you know, and in the post that originally posted, they'll start with this one post, right? End up getting 32 million views, this post. 32 million. It was posted by Trust Fund Terry on X, on IG. The New Yorker posted it. Every single media in New York and a lot of people, like meme pages, picked it up. I have a question then. Can we think of a more viral moment ever for an NFT native content creator? I don't think so.
32 million is a big number.
It's more than that, right? Like, that's one post. That means it's gone over 250 million impressions across all socials.
Yeah, I've never seen numbers like that ever. Like, it's pretty insane. Fair play to Nick.
Fair play to Nick, man. You won. And I mean,
I had normies like texting me about this. I was like, do you know this guy? I was like, yeah, it's Nick. People are like, oh, this guy is such a douchebag, man. And I was just like.
But what's funny, guys, it's like the CT guys originally fell for it. Like, it was like core CT first and went viral. And everyone seemed to have fallen for it. And like us NFT Twitter folks were just laughing because like we know Nick is fucking around, right? And it's funny because technically.
Where is he? What if he grows into the character?
I mean, I hope he does. I was talking to Nick over the weekend. I was like, I really hope he like keeps going into character, and which obviously like Bodago saw a pump on the back of that. We saw a Nick token get a little pump on the back of that thing that went all the way up to $10 million, followed by like a Beeple every day. So like, you know, the space was quick to go on. But anyways, quickly, we'll have 5 minutes. Usually we talk meme coins, we talk NFTs and whatnot, especially in a time like this. The new meme coin meta seems to be all about like those characters, like I saw the Trudeau one and stuff like that I completely missed. I was having my weekly osteopath treatment Sunday, and I missed generational wealth on a Trudeau shitcoin. Mandos, you sent it to me like, dude, it feels like this one made for you. I was out. I was like, ah, you know. But it seems like there's a whole like, you know, trend going on Solana right now, which has really turned into full blown sky casino. So that's going on right now. And then the rest of it is just, you know, NFTs kind of like lacking on that front. So there's not much to cover when it comes to that, but that's really what is going down in that space. I don't know if you guys had anything to add to that. And also the fact that Ovi had canceled PD5 because everybody pissed him off. So that also happened over the weekend. Do you want to address that, Ovi? Do you want to address you canceling professional DJ?
Basically, for our mint, we just need the ability for different wallets to have different mint limits. And the current Magic Eden contracts didn't support that. So I asked them to modify the contract so we can support that. That's what
it's not actually canceled, guys. I was obviously playing. Tabs made a fake screenshot of Ovi saying he's tired of everybody and their expectations and that he's quitting. And obviously, naturally, I had to meme it into reality. Maybe it's to get you guys to admit less of them, but I was kidding. I just because some people took it seriously and were worried, Ovi, like, oh my god, is he actually canceling? No, guys, Ovi's not canceling. And you know, I'm assuming when you have news, like, you'll share it on the show. So we'll keep you guys posted about what's happening with PD5. But anyways, quick glance at DGEN's dashboard here. On ETH, Peplicator was the big winner this weekend. Huge winner. Was up 600% at peak. That was minting Friday, I think. So Matt Fury raking in another $4.5 million. That was with Friday's ETH price. So a little higher today. So not failing to mint out a project. It's not minted out. It's just as many as it could mint. It was 22,000 units of Pepe's. Guys, Bored Apes, once again, 10 points down on the day. Looking closer to 15 ETH here.
15 ETH now for a board.
Yeah, man. Down 35 points. It's all you guys too. You guys started the cascade. So blame OSF and Mando. Crypto. obviously just kidding, y'all. But that's going on right now. So obviously that. But look, I mean, I'm not really per se worried long-term about the Bored Ape itself, but definitely something to look for and in a sign here on ETH NFTs. Mutants at 2.5. Some big crypto punks sell over the weekend. I saw a beanie sell for like $800,000. One of the cleanest punks in the collection. It was the beanie with the 3D glasses. So you love to see that. Some punk sales again, like the floor sell above $200,000. ETH price lower, but you know, ETH is also $4,000. D-Gods, some liquidation cascading again, just same thing. Blur Farmers just getting like a ton of stuff happening there. So that's not doing well. Same for Zuki, Pudgies as well, which is at 13 ETH. Sappy Seals, I don't know if you saw, but shout out to Wop, give him some flowers there. He's like starting this like open world concept. Like I saw Seals Come Home, you know, kind of a fork of like Apes Come Home, like this new world where like a bunch of people can like come and hang out in this metaverse. Shout out to him for including meme coin communities. I think at the moment, meme coin communities are what NFT communities were like early 2021. I don't know if you guys agree with that or not, but that's kind of what I'm seeing form here, which is kind of funny. So he included Mog and another coin. Forgot which. I'm sorry about that. Maybe was it Ticker Bitcoin probably and something else? I don't know. But it was one of those. So there was that on the seal. So we saw some movement there. On Bitcoin, everything's down, but everything was up a lot. So, you know, Puppets, wow, Puppets are 0.14 Bitcoin. But that's with Bitcoin at $72,000. So it's normal when the underlying asset is denominated and goes up. The asset goes up, goes down. The NFTs go down. So it's pretty large pullback all across the board on Ordinals with 20% down on NodeMonkeys, 20% down on Puppets. I saw this Pups token thing. I spent an hour this weekend, boys, separating my Puppets into wallets. Gambling, speculating on the fact that I could potentially get an airdrop per wallet versus how many Puppets you have in a wallet, but it's on Bitcoin. So it took me an hour and 30 minutes to separate everything. But you know what? You know, it was a chill thing. It's vintage. It's luxury. You know, when you order a Chanel purse or you go buy like a nice pair of sneakers at Louis Vuitton, you have to wait like 30 minutes for the bill. It's just how it is. So maybe not 30, but you know what I mean. And then last but not least, on Solana, same thing. NFTs lower, Fragana's up a bit, Mad Lad's up, of course, like they keep getting airdrops. Tensorans were up a bit, the 50 thing, and then Bodago's, of course, getting all the attention. They were up to 8 soul, but retraced a little bit back down to 8.7 soul on the back of Nick, of course, being absolutely
viral AF over the weekend. But that's about it. I don't know if you guys are seeing this. Jason Safe calling the BTC Maxis annoying and stuff. So it looks like the Bitcoin bros, the Bloomberg bros, the ETF bros are all at it on the timeline today. So we're going to see what happens on the race of ETFs. And guys, this is funny, actually. Look at this. He backed it up by he goes, BTC Maxis, you're kind of annoying as hell on this topic about the ETF.
Don't want to annoy the Bitcoin maxis, man.
Oh man, oh man, oh man. Anyways, the price is going up. We have a packed week on the show. We have guests almost every day. Tomorrow we're doing Robit loot box spin, so excited for that. A lot going on, and we have a project coming up and on and on and on. And I think tomorrow I'm finally launching the Degen Alley thing. That's what I'm hearing, but we'll see tomorrow. Anyways, Cali said shh. So wait. shout out to Callie. Probably listened to the show now. But with that, shout out to our show sponsors, Pallet. Check them out. They're fire. Our new partners. You'll hear more about them throughout the month of the show. Cool generative art project. And of course, Robit. And with that, we'll see y'all tomorrow morning, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Something 2:30 p.m. GMT for another episode of FOMO Hour on Rogue Radio. Let's go.